That cross that the ashes are placed in on one's forehead on Ash Wednesday is the only way for us as humanity to deal with that inevitable, to dust you will return.
You're listening to Vintage Stories. I'm Jennifer Murphy.
And I'm Michael Murphy.
This is the first episode back on season 3. And for those of you who haven't listened to this podcast yet, or this is your first time, Michael and I are members of Vintage Downtown. We've been going for a couple years. And this podcast really is to just share stories of the vintage community. So it's your stories.
Today, we've got a special guest,
Jared Trumbo. We're talking a little bit specifically about Lent and a little bit about his story. So let's get started.
Or let's dive in. Whatever, Jennifer. You just want to change it up? So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in.
I am the associate pastor at Vintage North. I've been on staff for, I think, about 3.5 years now. We've been a part of Vintage for almost 6 years. And associate pastor includes, for me, I oversee kids and families, oversee the new membership process, mm-hmm. and at a small church with only 2 full-time staff members, yeah. kind of everything else that needs yeah. to be done. A little of this, a little of that.
A lot of hats. Mm-hmm. A lot of hats. Awesome. Sure thing.
So where are you from originally? Are you from North Carolina?
No, I grew up in Arizona. I was born in LA area.
Okay.
Grew up out west. I came east for college. I went to Liberty University, met yeah. my wife there. We got married, and I worked in Columbus, Ohio for about 9 years at a church. And then God called us to China through kind of a burning bush type process.
Yeah.
So we sold everything and moved to China in 2009.
Wow.
Lived there for about 4 years. Had 2 kids at the time. Our 3rd was born there. We made a 4-year commitment, so we were there for about 4 years. And then we moved back to the States. We moved to Raleigh. Mm-hmm. I worked for a ministry to international students at UNC for a while. It was a blast. Loved it. Our 4th child was born here in Raleigh. So we have 4 boys, ages awesome. 16 through 7.
Wow.
And started going to Vintage. Kind of felt like the Lord was leading us towards a more pastoral ministry. And so here we are.
That's awesome. You've what? Been all around the world, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we could talk a lot about just wanting to know more about that China experience, but we actually have you on today to chat a little bit about Lent here at Vintage. And so maybe you could just kind of walk through a little bit about what is Lent all about for the church and for the community in the church.
I think I have to include my own personal journey as we talk about Lent, because I'm no Lenten expert. I grew up in a conservative church that had no practice of Lent. Even the idea of Lent was a very foreign concept, because there was so much focus on the resurrection that it's, okay, if this is the resurrection, why would we focus on the cross or sin or mortality, humanity, which are a lot of things that Lent dives into. So I had never been to an Ash Wednesday service until I came to one at Vintage a few years ago. I'd never had the ashes cross
yeah.
placed on my forehead before. So a lot of that was, this church that I'm now on staff at practices Lent, so I should probably dive into a little bit of what Lent is. So, and again, probably like a lot of Vintage people, grew up in a tradition where ritual was seen as very negative. That certainly can be true if ritual is seen as things that we must perform so that we can check boxes, so that we can make it in, so that we can get this, I think the Bible would call it self-righteousness. But as I've practiced more of these rituals, I've never been to a church that took communion every week. As we practice somewhat of a liturgy on Sunday mornings and follow some of the church calendar, I've seen so much beauty in things that the church has done for 2,000 years that really, in a beautiful way, paint a picture of what the Bible teaches us about who God is. And so as we talk about Lent specifically, this was something that growing up I would have resisted, because it's man-made. Because we don't see the word Lent in Scripture. We don't see Ash Wednesday in Scripture. This is something that the church has developed to really, in a beautiful way, prepare us, the people of God, for what we would consider maybe the highlight of the year, which is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
And so Ash Wednesday, which this year is February 26th, is what begins Lent. Lent is a 40-day preparation for Easter. Now, if you do the math between February 26th and Easter, which is in April, it's not actually 40 days. I think it's technically 46 days, but the church kind of counts Sundays as not a day of fasting and penitence. So if you take out Sundays, we have roughly 40 days.
Okay. Interesting.
And the church throughout history in different denominations has had different approaches to Lent, but they all include some similar elements. Mm-hmm. So starting with Ash Wednesday, the ashes representing repentance, but ashes also representing our focus on our own mortality and our own humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty dark place to go.
Yeah. Growing up, I actually did Ash Wednesday in the church I grew up in. I grew up in a Catholic church, and Ash Wednesday and Lent was always a big thing. We're big on ritual, mm-hmm. right? So it's a big part. I remember that exact thing that you just mentioned. It's like the idea of reflecting on your mortality. I really did not like Ash Wednesday. Like, I really didn't. I didn't like going. I didn't know why I was getting ash on my head. Now I got this dirt on my head. Like,
yeah.
Literally, that's like how I approached it. Probably a little naive, but yeah.
Well, and putting dirt on your forehead is just such a... that's so light in compared to what it's actually focusing on, which is, you know, in Genesis where God says, from dust you were made and to dust you will return. And that idea of repentance, when we see that throughout Scripture, we see it involves sackcloth and ashes. So a little dust on our forehead.
Yeah.
Really... doesn't really do justice what we're really thinking about, which is our own mortality. I was actually reading an article by an Anglican pastor, and he said, the hardest part of my job every year is for Ash Wednesday for me to put the ashes on my wife and on my children, because of what that represents mm-hmm. is mm. death is inevitable. But one thing that we have to keep always before us as we think about Lent, as we think about looking at our own sinfulness, really, is that cross that the ashes are placed in on one's forehead on Ash Wednesday is the only way for us as humanity to deal with that inevitable, to dust you will return. So it's really a beautiful picture of redemption while we are sort of focusing on that mortality. And then Lent leading into a season of fasting. And fasting is something that the church has dealt with in different ways. You know, it started off with a much stricter, much more rigorous fast. And throughout the years, different church councils and different popes and different denominations have, unfortunately, maybe made it an easier thing. It used to be, you know, you fasted for 40 days, and then it was you fast on Fridays, which is why a lot of Catholic churches have fish fries on Fridays
yeah.
because they're abstaining from certain types of meat.
Mm-hmm.
I know the stereotypical Lent is a season of not eating chocolate is kind of what it's become, which
yeah.
is the thing. Everyone
I love chocolate like the rest, like everybody else, but man, that's, I feel like that's a little bit light if we're talking about sacrificing things to focus on Jesus.
Yeah. I would give up cursing. It's something I shouldn't have been doing anyways, but I'd be like, I'm going to try really hard not to curse. It's like, come on.
And now it's like the standard is giving up social media, which I think is a beautiful thing. Not for the sake of relating to the cross of Jesus, because giving up social media certainly is in no way comparable to the crucifixion. But yeah. if we're abstaining from things so that we can replace that with either number one, charity, which has always been a part of Lent, which is loving our neighbors and giving more as a result of our fasting, mm-hmm. or focusing on the Lord. If you replace every minute for the period of Lent that you spend on social media with diving into God's word or spending that time in prayer or reading a book about who Jesus is, I think that'd be a really good practice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I've actually just recently run into some people that have been talking about fasting, and it's not something I really ever explored, but it's really an interesting concept. And the idea being that when you have that hunger, right, you actually take that as a reminder to go to the Lord and have some prayer and, you know, give that pain, you know, whatever you want to call it, uncomfortableness, mm-hmm. As a reminder to spend some time with him. It's kind of an interesting, I've never done it myself.
Yeah, I did it once. It was an interesting experience. I feel like it's something I would definitely do again, but I felt like I didn't get a clear sort of answer on something I was looking for direction for. And I was like, well, just got to go for it, I guess.
give it a shot and see if that's going to help.
Yeah, and that's another sort of ritual or thing that the church has neglected, has forgotten, a lost art, maybe we could call it.
Yeah.
I've participated in fasts at various stages of my life, and you start off looking for this magical, mm-hmm. I'm fasting, so God's going to speak to me directly, audibly from heaven. Because I'm, again, there's like this self-righteousness, because I'm doing this for God, he's going to, and there was one time where we were making a pretty big life decision, so it was, I decided to fast every Monday until I made a final decision. Mm. It was a really long time. I thought, man, I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't feel like I have any more clarity on my final answer.
Yeah.
But I felt so much more intimacy with the Lord, and I think that's the first step, at least in that process it was for me, of from that place I was able to hear from the Lord much more clear than I probably would have previously.
I like that.
Yeah. And so that was a physical fast from food, but abstaining from things during Lent for the sake of pursuing Jesus, I think, mm-hmm. is a great practice.
So is that something that Vintage does actively? I mean, is there some discussion? Will there be some discussion about finding things to give up or how to fast from? Or mm-hmm. is that, I guess, how are here at Vintage are we approaching it? I know that you're also preparing a study, and it'd be mm-hmm. good to kind of learn a little bit about that.
Yeah. If we were a part of a more centralized church, like a Catholic church or an Anglican church, they have more well-defined guidelines for this is what a fast looks like. We at Vintage don't do that. Certainly, as we practice Lent, that idea of abstinence is a part of, it's built into what Lent is. But mm-hmm. I don't know that we're going to have a required sign-up sheet. Okay, if those who are fasting from coffee, go over here. Those that are fasting from social media, sign up on this sheet. But we are preparing a Lenten prayer guide that we're going to be sharing at all of our campuses. A few of us wrote different segments of it. So we're going to take each week, there's 6 weeks of Lent, Monday through Friday, and we're following the elements of a liturgical service. So each Monday we're going to look at prayers from Scripture that are prayers of adoration. And each Tuesday we're going to look at prayers from Scripture that are prayers of confession. And then Wednesday is prayers of petition. And then Thursday is going to be prayers of thanksgiving. And then Friday is going to be prayers of benediction. So we've taken 30 prayers from Scripture, prayers of Elijah, prayers of Jesus, prayers of John, prayers of Habakkuk even. And we're looking at those and, okay, how did they pray? And then each day is going to have a practice segment as well. We don't just want to take this time of Lent and learn more about prayer. We want to take this time of Lent and practice more prayer. Mm-hmm. So each Monday when there's a prayer of adoration from Scripture that we're looking at, maybe from a psalm, there's going to be a, today as you go out throughout your day, think about praying this way. Or right now, take a few moments and pray this way. And so that'll be available Ash Wednesday, and it's also going to be available online. I'd very much prefer to have a piece of paper, a real something to put in my backpack and to take with me and mm-hmm. to scribble on in that.
Lent, we don't necessarily as a church celebrate it the exact same way mm-hmm. every year. How did this idea of the prayer study come about?
So in our preaching calendar, the first 4 weeks of Lent, so the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6, we're going to be preaching through that. And mm-hmm. so as we're sitting in week one, as we're sitting in that idea of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, that's going to kind of inform our prayers for that week. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to, if if this year, 2020, we're looking at the kingdom, what does the kingdom look like? Well, first we started off with this 8-week series, None Like Him. Mm-hmm. Who is the king? I think that's primary to understanding what is this kingdom. And then as we think about prayer being our interaction with the king of this kingdom, preparing us for Lent, preparing us for Easter, we thought, well, if we're going to write a Lenten guide, and if we're going to be focusing on prayer, well, let's write a Lenten prayer guide. We want us to practice this prayer. By the end of this guide, we want people's relationships with Jesus to be deepened.
Yeah.
I think it'd be perfect to bring into community groups, and a lot of community groups in Vintage will have group texts among them, and kind of have discussion daily. And you said some of it's a call to action, and like, think about this daily, and sharing those things within that group can really drive the point home. And then it becomes, I think sometimes when there's a prayer study or something, you can be like, oh man, I didn't do it for like 3 or 4 days. It's like, if you have that, a group of people that working it together can help that accountability. So I'm thinking to myself, that's what I want to do. I'm going to get a couple guys and make sure we are exploring it together.
Yeah, that's great. And even in a community group level, I would love for community group leaders to take, the prayer guide's not going to be able to fill up your whole community group time, but at the end of your community group, to save maybe 15 or 20 minutes to, hey, let's, as a group corporately, let's go through this Wednesday together, reading this passage, this prayer from Scripture, and reading the what the guide has to say about it. And then that practice section, practicing that corporately, would be a great way to either begin or end a community group for those 6 weeks during Lent.
Yeah.
And so all of this leads up to, obviously, Easter Sunday being the culmination of Lent. Easter Sunday, where we throw off all of the sin and the darkness and that Lenten focus on mortality, and when we focus on resurrection. That's why we wear bright clothes, and that's why we sing the songs that we do on Easter Sunday. Our hope is that at every location we're going to be having baptisms on Easter Sunday, and baptism is, Easter Sunday is such a great time to be baptized. So hopefully for some in our church who are followers of Jesus, or maybe for some who are entering Lent as doubters or seekers, that they would come to the point of salvation at some point, to where they would say, I want to be baptized on Easter Sunday. Because baptism being that picture of when we go down in the water, we are buried with Jesus in his death, and we are raised with him in resurrection to walk in newness of life.
Well, thanks for joining us and really kind of telling us what to expect for Lent. I'm definitely super excited.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in. I'm looking forward to getting into the prayer book. I think it's the prayer study. I think it's going to be a good addition to or kind of a support through Lent here this season. So looking forward to it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Appreciate you.